Public hearing and work session on House Bill 2294. Director Meeks. Welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Bob Mink, Director of the Department of Human Services.
You want to tell us about your reorg?
Where to start? Madam Chair, I think what I'll do, if it's all right with you, is to summarize the testimony I've given earlier in this committee and talk a little bit about the reasons for the reorganization and what we're trying to gain from it. And I've handed out materials in the past, so I didn't bring them back again. And just let me say, in 1971, when this department was created, the goal of the state legislature and Governor McCall at that time was to eliminate the fragmentation in the human services system in Oregon. At that time, the news clippings said that our clients were falling through the cracks. They had to go to multiple places, had to tell the story more than one time, and that it was very difficult to access our systems, and that we needed to fix it. And so what the legislation and the governor did is bring separate state agencies together under a director in 1971. Well, I'm here to tell you in 2001 that the problem we tried to solve in 1971 hasn't been solved. The system is still fragmented. Clients still have to go to multiple places for services. And they end up with more than one caseworker, with more than one case plan. Sometimes the case plans conflict with one another. It's very confusing for the clients and their families to access our systems. And my belief is that it makes it harder for people to be successful with the things that we want them to do as a social services agency, given the system that we have. So the reorganization is an attempt to do what we started to do in 1971, and that is to eliminate the fragmentation of the system, get us into a situation where our clients with multiple needs can access the services they need with one stop. And let me say, of the 900 and about 50,000 people we serve every year in this human services system, and when I say human services system, let me just digress for a second. That would include everybody we serve in each of our divisions at the Department of Human Services, plus it will include our partners in local government, which would be the local mental health organizations, the local public health organizations, which would include WIC, and it would include the alcohol and drug contractors that we have, either through counties or we contract directly with. That system serves 950,000 unduplicated individuals. And nearly 70% of those folks who receive services from us get multiple service. Nearly 70%. Over 50% of them receive three or more services, and 40% of them receive four or more services. So the majority of the folks we're seeing have multiple needs, and I think most of the time that we spend, I can't show data to prove this, but my sense is that the rule of 80%, 20% applies here. We spend a lot of our time on the people with multiple services. So what we're trying to do then with this reorganization is to reduce the fragmentation so that people with multiple needs can get served easier and have one case plan. Really what we're trying to do here is to have a system of human services in the state that is not unlike what we have in Jackson County and White City. In White City, people can come, a family or our client can come to White City, and they have multiple needs. Those needs will be met in that one place in White City. They don't have to drive all over Medford to get those services. Now, if they don't live in White City, they live somewhere else in Jackson County, they have to do the routine and drive everywhere else. But if they live out in White City, they have a distinct advantage of getting good services. And when you talk to the staff in White City, they think it's a better system. They think it has improved services. And when you talk to the clients that come through there who experience services from the old way and the new way, the client focus groups that we've done there, I think those services are very positive. Client tells their story once. They end up with one case plan rather than multiple. The case plans are designed so they're complementary to one another, and people can leave with a comprehensive human service plan. That's what we want. Now, that may look a little different in every county, depending on what the local human services environment is. Not everybody in the state, the county human services folks with mental health and public health in the A&E systems, looks like Jackson County. So what we're trying to do with our part of the reorganization is to make this flexible enough that we can hook up with any county configuration. So that's the essence of this, Madam Chair.
Rick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the subcommittee, I distributed to your desks here a memo and a copy of the A3 amendments. The A3 amendments are conflict amendments that were drafted by legislative council. I also, in that memo, indicated that we adopted a budget note when we heard the director's office budget, and that budget note is there. This budget note relates directly to the reorganization, and I know there's a concern about oversight of the agency during the reorganization efforts, and we feel that this budget note would provide adequate oversight.
We're going to include this as a conceptual amendment to the budget.
Right.
Just a point of clarification, the budget note language that we had heard earlier, I've requested that we have a conceptual amendment to 2294 to include that language so that it's very clear that legislatively we do have that expectation, so there is no question later on that somehow it gets mixed in the, as we pull out. Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, two things I want to get on the record. First of all, I would strongly support the Chair's conceptual amendment because I think the agency has expressed, DHS has expressed their interest in making sure that there's legislative oversight, and I think it just needs to be really clear as we move forward with that, as everybody's what we anticipate. Second of all, and Mr. Mink and Mr. Fink came to Marion County, our service integration group a couple weeks ago, and talked about how this would work in Marion County, and it was well received. I think we had a lengthy and very kind of detailed conversation, and I just wanted to get on the record, first of all, my appreciation for their participation in that meeting, and second of all, the request of our county was that as the field services portion moves out, that it's not the plan is developed and then they hook into what the county is doing, but that the county and the nonprofits and faith-based organizations and so on that provide these services are part of that planning from the get-go in the county initially, so we build that together. And I think that's going to be critical in order to get the buy-in at the local level for what's going on, because all of those different partners are part of that system.
I'd like to speak just a few words in support of Mr. Mink here. Strangely enough, I live a few minutes from the White City Center, and so I've seen it develop and grow. I have a lot of patients that use the services there, and it has been a success, which is 7 or 8 years now, I think, probably in the making, from their old building to the new building and trying to bring those services together. I know there was a lot of angst at first with turf battles between different groups, and I think it's probably a degree that still goes on. I think it's markedly improved, and I kind of assumed that was sort of the model that the rest of the state was using too. And I've been surprised to find these hearings that we have in White City, and we have White City Elementary, which is a school-based center, which we've already talked about, which is a few blocks away, was just kind of the way the rest of the state was going. So I'm a little naive in that. However, it's a good program, as you've outlined. It's much better than it used to be there. It's not perfect. We know that.
Yep.
It's got some things that need to be changed there yet, too. But obviously, it's light years ahead of the rest of the state, and I applaud your efforts to try to move forward to that kind of a model.
Thank you.
There was another request for an amendment, and it was a -2 amendment that was given to me, and I have and it deals with the actual service delivery, and I would like to call up Ellen. We cannot. This morning I was advised that it's a policy discussion, and because it is policy that it needs to go through the substance committee, and it's not one that deals with nuts and bugs.
Bobby leaves.
No, Bobby, you don't need to leave.
Could I ask Bobby a question?
Sure, but I want to...
Yes.
Okay. Because I think this is very important, and I did want to get the concern in the record and understanding that although we cannot adopt the amendment because it has to go someplace else, I'm going to seek to do that.
Madam Chair and members of the...
You want to do the question, Bobby, first?
If I could.
Okay.
Senator Duncan.
With respect to my friend Ellen. But, Bobby, I have a question. Having been involved with reorganizations many, many times, and oftentimes I've often heard the comment about that, you know, there's a cost savings, and I'm not questioning at all the efficiency and making it easier for people. I'm just curious about the reality of cost savings. It's seldom in reorganizations have I seen that, in fact, that you really save money. I think you improve efficiency and you improve service and all of those factors. But I've seen the school reorganizations, everybody says, well, you'll save money. And then down the road, you don't, and people are very upset about that because the reality is, I always question whether you really save money. And I'm just curious about a quick response on that.
Sure.
I realize it's more of an in-depth kind of thing. And I just kind of want to get the question on the record a little bit.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Duncan, you're right about everything you said on reorganizations. Oftentimes you see promises of big savings and they don't occur. In this particular reorganization, let me back up just a second. And one of the reasons is usually reorganizations require some investment up front in order for people to be trained on new systems and the like. And in this particular reorganization, it's no exception. Now, although we show a $10 million savings, that's primarily coming from efficiencies you'd see from reducing 5 field systems into 1 and some efficiencies in the central office. The governor's allowing me to reinvest $6 million of that back in to the department for training and some minor information systems improvements. And so this reorganization, really, when you look at the size of our budget, is a wash because that's not much. And so we're not looking for huge savings at this time in this reorganization.
Okay, I guess, Madam Chair, that's kind of my point. You may say, but you'll have to spend someplace else, and so that there isn't a misconception on the part of people hearing this all the time, we're going to save a lot of money. Because in reality, you probably won't save a lot of money, but you will provide better service and be more efficient in all those factors. I just kind of wonder where that one
went. I'm glad you asked that question, Senator Hartung, for just me, one of us who's been around on had that vision. Senator Duncan.
I'm done.
I'm still back with my grandkids. you guys, I shouldn't be here this morning.
We're so close, it doesn't make any
sense. Yeah, I know.
We both get used.
You're both chronologically advantaged.
We respond either way.
But at the heart of this, if we can actually provide better services to the client, and we can do a job of bringing together services in a way that they benefit. I think that some of us have really when I was here years ago, talk about how we shuffle people from agency to agency to agency, and each time we shuffle them, we open up a new record and the client is doing nothing but giving a lot of information, and then the other piece has to talk to the other piece, and then that one has to talk to that piece. I really believe that by the time we finish and by the time it takes so long to get through the process, that it's a little wonder that the individual who needed the service and their families in the first place don't throw up their hands and say, with all the bureaucratic red tape and the stuff that we do, it's a little wonder we're able to serve anybody. So if we're able to anyway have a positive impact on developing an efficiency system that is geared towards the client, I've often said that you know, we're in the business of the public and serving the public, and I think sometimes we forget that. you know, with all the paperwork we throw at people. And so,
that's really agree.
With that, I'm going to ask my good friend, Ellen Lowe, to share with us the Dash 2 amendments.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'm Ellen Lowe, legislative advocate for the Oregon Law Center, and I think you have had distributed to you the proposed A2 amendments, and I thank the chair for asking me to address them this morning. I also thank her for her commitment to pursue the resolution of this problem, perhaps in some other way, because I had been earlier advised that this was an appropriate mechanism to seek uniform standards in the treatment for TANF folks across the state. The amendment that was brought to you is a result of an interpretation by the Adult and Family Service Division that has developed over the last couple of years, in which there have been denial for administrative review of the actions of a worker to deny services, support type services. Currently within the current system, the cash assistance part is treated differently, and so this amendment was to make sure that what had historically been done, that those support services would be treated the same way, in which there would be available some administrative review if a request from the TANF client had been refused. And this could include such things as certain kinds of courses. It could be child care, mental health, alcohol and drug. And I'll use an example that I think you spent quite a little time with, and that was the dumpster diving. Recall that there were at least three instances when you had clients who had objected to the class and had objected to that being that particular part of the class. And there wasn't administrative review. It didn't go up to another level, so those objections never reached that area of complaint and review by a third party. We are convinced that there are many other instances in which there have just been actions where sometimes it's personality conflicts, there are a whole variety of things that occur in which there is a conflict between the worker and the client. And what we have discovered through the years is that when administrative review has been granted, you will see that in a vast majority of the cases, it is resolved and the issue goes no further. We feel that what we've asked for is really consistent with the client focus that reorganization has committed itself to achieve. And so that is, I have provided you the background for the A2 amendments. I also provided you a response to a letter from the department, and I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
And I do plan to. Representative,
just a process question. You mentioned that the co-chair said that this amendment is more substantive or policy than ways and means. Is this bill going to go to another policy committee?
I'm going to work to seek to get it to another policy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Madam Chair. I do have the memo that Ellen and Jacqueline and Patrick Green have submitted to. Probably Mink, and that's not the one you were asking.
No.
Any questions about now? Okay. And I have your other two. Okay.
Yes.
I have some comments on that later with you there.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Senator Shields.
Since Senator Duncan's raised that, is there a point at which you'd like to ask Alan or any of the others questions about the letter that...
Is there a specific question that you have that you want to ask Senator Duncan?
My question probably... Probably most appropriate maybe in the substantive committee. I don't know. Is that
But there's no substantive committee?
I don't know. It's the delay part in here that I want to address, and I don't know where that fits in. Is it with that?
We got a good case.
I'm going to put us in work session so we can open up work session on House Bill 2294 because I need to get Mr. Olson going in so we can ask questions during this process.
Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending that you approve the A3 amendments, which are the conflict amendments that you have before you.
You might want to explain the conflict, conflicts in the A3.
The A3 amendments simply resolve conflicts in other legislation that is still proposed. Mm-hmm. And there's about four or five, maybe six different bills that's referenced in this amendment that if they become law, this bill would resolve those conflicts.
Madam Chair, I'm ready to move the -3 amendments.
Senator Duncan moves the -3 amendments to House Bill 2294, which resolve conflicts. Is there any objection? That one's been approved.
The next issue that we see the Legislative Fiscal Office is concerned about with this bill is on page 43 of the bill, section 64, subsection 2, which is three quarters of the way down the page. Page 43.
Yeah, I was reading that.
It's starting on line 34.
Yeah, I'll bet.
34 through 37. That section of language that is deleted.
Well, you've got those two have here. That is the...
This language is deleted.
Okay.
Here. This is the only language that's deleted. Lines 34 through 37, that language that is deleted is of concern to us. The Fiscal Office would recommend that you amend the bill to restore that language with some modifications, realizing that the word division would not be appropriate in there. But line 35, between the budgets of programs or other organizational units and offices within the department. This would require the department to continue to come back to the emergency board and the legislature for rebalance plans.
Yep.
And so we would ask that you would amend the bill to include that, restore that language.
We're not doing, are we doing conceptual amendments?
We're going to, yes.
We are. I so move.
Senator Duncan moves that the language under section 64, line 34 through 37. Be restored.
Be what about the rest?
It's 34, 35, 36, and lines 37.
Well, I was wondering about the 38, 39, 40. Do you want that back in?
No.
Okay. Just through 37 then.
Yeah. I'm sure you want to eliminate the word divisions also.
And to delete the word division.
Line 35.
Is that any objections?
It gives them the right to make it sound right. I mean, if
any objections?
Yeah, it's
great. None. And the agency is nodding their assent. Let's go into the second conceptual amendment.
Madam Chair and members, as was previously mentioned, I think it's the desire of Subcommittee to conceptually amend the bill to include the language from the budget note into the bill as well. Require the department to come back at every e-board meeting during the interim. Before the reorders.
Move the conceptual amendment.
Senator Duncan moves the conceptual amendment that requires the department to report back to every e-board meeting to advise on the progress that it's making towards implementation, plus staffing implications and the transitions of new accounting systems. And it's listed here, but it is our intent to have a very intense oversight. Is there any objection to a conceptual amendment?
Madam Chair.
Senator Yee.
Does that include reporting to the interim Human Resource Committee also?
Please have another bill dealing with that. But this one is that we wanted to make sure to tie those budgetary aspects, and as they evolve out, that we're sure, one, we don't lose the historical data as we add new things. Two, that so much of what they're doing do have both staffing and budget implications. Mm-hmm. And as well as we wanted to make sure that that their tracking systems were in place, which takes in the work that you did in e-government. Those are some of the concerns that we had from the budget committee, and we wanted to be sure that they have
follow up. So the Legislative Oversight Committee is in a separate bill.
Then it's, we can include that if you come to the Legislative Oversight Committee.
More understanding.
In addition to, but that would, we don't have that authority, and we can only deal with the budgetary oversight. And Senator Cruz does have another bill.
Or can we just include that they need to report to the substantive committees?
We can't do that. That's what I got into the other one.
Into the substantive committee. Oh, I see.
Doug?
Madam Chair, just a clarification. Our Doug Wilson, Administrator of the Office of Finance and Policy Analysis. Just a clarification on the budget note integration into the bill. Was that going to be codified statutory or a one-time, sort of, how long do you want us to keep coming back?
So you're finished with your rework.
Okay, then I would...
We can put a date on
it.
Yeah.
Just put an ending date on it or put it as chapter law and not codified law.
Okay. Representative Cross.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to get on the record, too. I know there's been some heartburn from advocates and some individuals who are my constituents and so on about the savings in the different divisions that have been estimated because of reorganization, and I recognize at this point we're simply dealing with the concept of reorganization, but if those savings don't come to fruition, I think this move to have the report at the emergency board will help mitigate some of those effects so that we can make sure that the assumptions were real, that they're able to realize those savings and so forth. So I think this is a really important move.
Any other discussion? Any objection to the conceptual?
No, I'm okay.
Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
No objections? Representative Patrick.
Madam Chair, before we move the full bill, I just wanted to put on the record that, and you and I have talked about this, I'm willing to support the DHS reorg piece with the caveat that we continue to look at during the interim moving child support from DHS to Department of Justice. I think that there is some savings that can be realized, and frankly, I think it's a better place to put it, even though I think the department may disagree with me. I want to have some amendments drafted to try and put it in here, but I didn't. So,
are you continuing to have that discussion with DOJ?
Yeah, Madam Chair, my last information was talking with a member from the Department of Justice staff. Is that they've drafted some budget notes and other, I don't know if it's a budget note or an amendment to a bill, which require us to work with the Department of Justice over the interim to come up with a legislation for next biennium. That's what I understand.
Representative Patrick.
Madam Chair, just to clarify, I've asked that some budget notes be looked at and drafted, and I'm working with that, LSO, and on behalf of work with Bobby and the department,
I'm fine with
to get something, but... You know, I'm concerned that that division is is there and not getting the attention and creativity it deserves. I feel like it's a roadblock.
Senator Yee.
Madam Chair, I just want to say before we move the bill, I have a lot of concerns regarding the reorganization. I think if your caseworkers and staff are the same, I don't see what reorganization would do, because I'm concerned that a lot of the caseworkers are not showing enough care and respect for the clients, as the case with the dumpsters case. And I have constituents from my district saying caseworkers are not open-minded to their problems and do not pay attention to what they can do for a good solution. So just reorganizing without making sure the frontline workers are caring and show enough attention to the client's problems, it's not going to make any difference. So I will support reorganization if it means more efficiency, more streamlining of the system. But I think the focus still needs to be on your staff being open to communication and show more attention to the client's needs and problems. I mean, having appeal process doesn't mean too much either. You just need to solve their problems and pay attention to them. So with that said, I'm willing to support the reorganization, but I think it's important we have oversight on the process. And I sure hope you're not going to move too rapidly. Move slowly and make sure everything is right as you move towards the organization.
Senator Duncan.
Well, Madam Chair, I think that really, Senator Yee's comment really fits in beautifully with what we were talking about earlier, the cost. It's going to take extensive training to be sure that the caseworker understands, even in the close proximity, of how they can relate to one another and work together. So that's a real training program. I think Bobby keeps saying that's the key to it, and I agree with you. If you just reorganize and say, now go do your thing, nothing's going to happen. But with this training program he's talking about, you can really, you know, and you're always going to have to deal with the human element. There will be some stupid... We can do some stupid things once in a while. There will always be that happening, no matter how hard Bobby tries with training and training. But I think the training is a key element of the whole thing.
Yep, it is.
I'll get...
Go ahead.
You had given us a rollout plan and of the process with which to be used, and that it's not just all at once that we're having counties and cities on board, and I think that information was given to us during one of the other hearings.
It was.
So, and I will really go to full ways and means, make sure that I give them that information as well, that it is the plan not to take great big huge bites, but to systematically roll this out across the state, and it is our intent that we work and engage with you as closely as possible to assure that the objectives that you want to meet are being met and as efficiently as possible. And I would share the good senator's remarks that it is the intent that staff will be trained and that the client is the ultimate persons that we're attempting to serve. And if we're able to achieve what Governor McCall envisioned actually it was 1969 when we had human resources coordination and then moved to the legislative status in 1971. So if we're able to achieve what Oregon attempted to start working at 30 years ago, maybe even more improved because we've learned a lot in those 30 years, and to be able to serve families in a way that they can achieve not only some independence, but that that families are beginning to be made whole. I think that all of us in this room would like to work towards that goal and that objective, that we have become client-centered rather than the bureaucracy-centered.
Mm-hmm.
I said sometimes we get caught up within our own profession and forget who we're in business for. Representative Bates.
I'd like to add a word of caution for us to be patient in this process. You know, Representative Patridge and I have seen the transformation of the White City community and the families in the White City community as a result not only of this, but things have gone out to schools there. And so social change can occur. But it takes time, and this is not something that happened the last year or two when they opened up the new building last year. This went on over a period of 7 or 8 years, and rolling it out to the counties like you're doing is the first step. Changes that will have to occur inside those counties will be difficult for a lot of people, because these kind of changes are difficult, and people have to think differently, work differently, and function differently. And I'm afraid we're going to hear some negative comments at times in the next few years as this happens, and I would ask that as we do that, as legislators, we know that from our constituents, that we step back and think about the big picture and where we're trying to go, even though along the way there will be some individuals who might feel that we're heading in the wrong direction, or that at times mistakes have been made, and there probably will be some legitimate mistakes being made. So I always caution some patience on all parties while we work through this, because I think it's a good program you're trying to do. And I think if you can bring it to fruition, it'll be just as the chair has said, it'll be something that's been wanting for 25 or 30 years, and it's, I believe, the right direction to go.
Representative Patrick.
Madam Chair, I'd move House Bill 2294, as amended by this committee, including the conceptual amendment, to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Patrick moves House Bill 2294, as amended also the two conceptual amendments to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation. Is there any objections? Hearing none. Senator, who would like to carry to the Senate? Senator Duncan. Since his partner isn't here.
He's a busy boy. I tell you what, I'm going to do what you're going to chair for, because I'm not even fucking here.
You're fucking.
Take care.
Have a lot.
You threw away. No.